You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. See where
I live. IGN GameScoop.
Damon out!
Except now you've spoiled it for everybody.
Well, we can't do it. I assume we're going to. We'll see if we leave this in.
We'll see if we leave this in. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Jared Petty,
Scoop.
And Marty Sleva. Obviously, we're back in the podcast room this week. All of our producers bounced to New York Comic Con. There's no one to shoot us in the studio. But the show must go on is a phrase that I made up and I like to say.
Did you sing about it in Moulin Rouge?
Very applicable here.
Moulin Rouge didn't make it up either.
No, I was just wondering if you sang about it. Were you walking
down
the aisle?
I was not in.
They're not you and McGregor?
I thought it might have been you. I wasn't sure.
Moulin Rouge.
All right.
We got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about 4K. That stands for 4,000.
Yeah.
Yeah,
agreed.
It's kind of
4,000 TVs or sales are up.
Why isn't it
4,000 TVs? We got to talk about what is this topic about? Man, I can't even know. But there's going to be another topic after we talk about 4K.
Very, very mysterious.
But first, this week, Phil Spencer of Microsoft Xbox, made some comments about the Xbox Scorpio and what its price may or may not be and whether or not we should care about the price. But some of his comments are a little confusing to me, and I was wondering if you guys would help translate
Phil Spencer's comments. Almost certainly not, but we'll do our best.
There we go. Ready.
Basically, our headline was that Phil Spencer says we shouldn't worry about the price of the Xbox Scorpio.
Yeah.
Which tells us that it's not going to be insane. Yeah. It's not going to be like a Neo Geo.
I think the exact quote was, "Don't even worry your pretty little head about it."
Is that the quote at all?
Really? Yeah. I think the translation is.
You have a headache?
No. I'm translating. It's please buy Scorpio. That's the translation.
Yeah, that's actually probably pretty accurate. Yeah.
Please buy Scorpio.
He says, "The Xbox One S, which is out now, and the Scorpio were developed in parallel." And they thought about the price performance of what we wanted to hit with the Scorpio relative to what we were going to be able to do with the S. What does that mean?
Please buy Scorpio.
I mean, I think it is a continuation of what they did at their E3 conference, where they were very much at the end. They announced they showcased
one
the S and they showcased Scorpio, but they were like, hey, we're not leaving anyone in the dust. If you have a launch Xbox One, you're still going to play all the games. You're going to get to play Gears of War 5 and Halo 6 and everything that comes
online. The situation is, it's incredibly confusing to me, and I'm super happy to just sort of say that I was wrong. I mean, at E3, my analysis was they announced, hey, a year from now, we're going to have a way more powerful Xbox, everybody. And my thought was, why would anyone buy an Xbox One now? Why would anyone buy one in the next 12 months? And I still kind of don't understand the logic of people that are jumping into the Xbox One now. Why wouldn't you want to wait for the Scorpio? But you know, again, I didn't get that one right. People are totally buying the
Xbox One. Yeah, the One S has been selling really well.
Yeah,
been,
they've outsold the PS4 a few months in a row.
I'm with you. I do not understand why anybody would buy an Xbox One before Scorpio. I don't get it.
I mean, I understand that there's a small sliver of people that, you know, either don't know or don't care that, you know, an incremental upgrade is coming a year from now and really want to play Gears of War 4 now, or Forza Horizon 3 is excellent. You know, they're just, now is the right time for them to jump in, for it to be the best-selling console and for that strategy to really be working for Xbox is a surprise to me.
With that, I agree with you, but to play devil's advocate with that logic, why would anyone ever buy an iPhone? It's because 6 months down the road, there's going to be a better one.
That's why I switched to Android.
Oh, yeah, because they don't do that.
No, they don't do that. They just explode in your face and aren't allowed in the plane.
No, I mean, I think consoles are moving in that direction, but the answer, I mean, it's because an iPhone comes out every year like clockwork, so eventually you just choose.
Yeah. I have a conspiracy theory.
Here's the conspiracy theory
that I don't actually believe. The conspiracy theory is Red Ring was just to get us used to buying a new Xbox. It's a long con. All the Red Rings, we just buy a new Xbox every year because it breaks every year.
It's an awful theory.
And then when they move on to the next generation, we're trained, and now we're going to buy the new models.
Yeah. It's an awful theory.
So that's the terrible conspiracy theory, which is not true.
Pretty bad, that's like actually. Justin's theories.
Yeah, that's
Mothman calendar.
That is Mothman.
You saw the Mothman in a hot tub once, right?
I did, yeah.
Well, the Mothman wasn't in the hot tub.
I like the idea that you get out of the hot tub, there's a weird Mothman just chilling, a couple girls.
His wings are all wet?
Yeah, like, oh, it's gross.
Yeah, we saw the Mothman. There may or may not have been...
Anyway, Jared, you just got an Android phone, right?
I did.
Are you sad you didn't wait for the Google Pixel phone?
Not at all. I got a relatively low-cost Moto G Plus, and I could not be happier. It is impossible
that you could be any happier with this phone.
That is hyperbole on my part. It is, however, an excellent phone, and I should have switched Android years ago.
This is not Android Scoop.
Tech fetish is back.
The next... Yeah. Quote, I would like some help translating. It says, Microsoft aims to offer the consumer a good price continuum so people wouldn't look at these two things as so disconnected because of the price delta.
Price delta is a fancy way of saying price gap.
Yeah.
So the Xbox One S is what, $399?
$299.
$299. That implies that the Scorpio will be $399.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it implies. And I think that's the price they have to hit because that's what Sony's hit all generation with. Mm-hmm. That's what the Pro is going to be when it comes out. Mm-hmm. That's what the base level PSVR is. And I think that $399. Yeah. You're able to hop into that much easier psychologically than $499 because then you tip into $500 and you're like, that's premium.
So let's see, next fall the consoles will be 3 years old or four years old? Four years old. That's totally, you know, if we get a new console every 4 years, it's not bad.
Yeah.
This isn't that. I think 2 years after this thing, we're going to get a Xbox 2 and a PS5.
I don't know. I think they totally want to move to a cycle where, you know, The Witcher 4 comes out or, you know, Cyberpunk 2077 comes out and it supports, you know, the last three Xboxes. You know, it supports the Xbox One, the Scorpio, and the brand new thing.
Yeah.
But then the next game, the last generation will fall off.
Yeah. I don't know if we're there yet.
And that is how things work on mobile. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the phones are significantly more powerful now and certain really, really high-end mobile games, you know, it's like, look, anything older than a 5S, this just won't run on it yet. Mm-hmm. And they've sort of found that comfort level where it sucks to have the device older. Like, oh, I only have a 5. Now I can't play this thing. But there's also some understanding of like, well, yeah, but your hardware's gotten kind of old.
The other part of this I haven't heard anybody talk about yet that I wonder about is you're not spending $100 million developing a mobile game. And you are when you're making a AAA title. If you're spending tens of millions of dollars on your product, you want the largest possible install base because you need to sell as many as you can. Mm-hmm. I'm still wondering how that's going to affect this iterative console cycle. It does make me think that they're not going to be able to space them out annually. I think what you said. Let's say I make a Witcher game.
Right.
Do I want to build the game to take advantage of the latest and greatest technology in every possible way, or do I want to build it for the lowest common denominator?
Well, they're not mutually exclusive.
They're not mutually exclusive, but where am I going to put my emphasis and how is that going to affect the way that the hardware manufacturer is trying to sell
their hardware? Let's not talk about this like it's some crazy thing that doesn't exist. Like PC sliders, that's already a thing. You can already play, you know, games in much higher resolution on PC than you can on console.
PC Slider is my favorite band.
Yeah, PC Slider. And game developers, you know, already have to do that with ultra settings.
I agree with that. The reason I sort of disagree with you there is because at what fall does Activision say, all right, it is time that Call of Duty no longer supports the, well, at this time, 40 million PS4s, but at that point, maybe 100 million PS4s. Mm-hmm. And what if that fall, EA's like, well, Battlefield still does. So all of you that still have that old console, you can play the new Battlefield. Like, that's one of those. There's like a there's sort of a gentleman's agreement when a new console launches. That's like, all right, everyone's getting ready to shift onto the new thing.
Yeah.
And like this year, well, you know, Destiny's a good example where it finally cut off support for PS3 and Xbox 360. Although that's a little bit of a weird case because that was also holding back, you know, they couldn't do things with the size of the world and things like that. Whereas it still feels like it'd be possible for other games that aren't as interconnected to do just a separate SKU. You know, like Madden still came out on the PS3 for
I semi-agree with you, Justin. There's obviously no technical hurdle to keep them from doing that. Mm-hmm. What I'm worried about is an ecosystem hurdle, how this works in a established marketplace. Because there's more that goes into console development than just the technology.
Yeah, I mean, I think the gross oversimplification of it would be, you know, when the Xbox, whatever the thing after Scorpio will be called, their naming system is completely whack at this point. But, you know, hey, this game runs at 4K. You know, on the Scorpio, it runs at 1080p, and on the original Xbox, it runs at 900p, and that's it. You know, the frame rate's the same across all. You don't have any sort of gameplay benefits, a higher, you know.
There's not more levels or anything.
Yeah. Or, you know, particle effects are turned on. Even something like draw distance is a little dicey because that could conceivably give you an advantage in a multiplayer game. In a certain context. Yeah.
All right, the next quote I need some help with is, let's see. Phil Spencer thinks Xbox Scorpio will feel like it's a premium product, a premium console, and not something, anything more than that.
I think that is them. That is code for we are still developing the successor to the Xbox One, and that it's not this.
Yeah, it's not. It's not a whole new console. Interesting.
Yeah.
Generation.
Okay. Yeah, right. And that's what Sony said too. With Mark Cerny clarified that with the PS Pro that this is not the start of a new console generation.
This is the elite controller of consoles.
I think. Yeah, I think both console companies want to move away from. You know, I think Microsoft just wants to release an Xbox every 2 years, just like Apple releases an iPhone every year, and I think they just want to call it the Xbox. Here's our new Xbox. It replaces the old Xbox. And
Sort of like how the PS4 Slim is just called the PS4, and it's just phasing out the original PS4.
Exactly. Or maybe iPhone's a little bit of a weird example, because they do still call it, you know, iPhone 7, iPhone 6 Plus, but a better example might be like MacBook Pros. It's always the MacBook Pro, it's always the MacBook, and then whichever one if you buy one this year, it's more powerful than the one you got last
Condoms are more powerful every year compared to last year's condoms.
Consoles are becoming more and more PC-like.
More and more condom-like.
Yeah.
Yep.
Condom war.
The Xbox boss said people shouldn't be worried that this thing is going to be unlike any console price you've ever seen, as they didn't design it that way. So it's not going to be a $1,000 console. It'll be like what we're used to spending on a console.
I think that was when you said 3DO. I think that hit the nail on the head. We also, Jonathan Dornbush put up a feature sort of after this news broke where he tallied all the consoles from the Odyssey on what their when they released, their original price, and what it was for inflation. The 3DO is something like $1,200 now, which is
The 3DO and the Neo Geo were the most expensive consoles of all time.
Yeah,
the GameCube was a heck of a
steal for 20 years.
And yet they still managed to make money on practically everyone they sold by most.
Because they had a handle.
Why do you say practically everyone? Like, which ones didn't they make money on?
Well, we don't know for sure because
those
reports were from people who took them apart and figured out what parts went into them, figured out about how much they spent building them. But it's possible that early in the cycle they might have sold them at a loss.
Okay. All right. He also highlighted the different hard drive size options currently available for the Xbox One S and how that product line is a good indication of what can be expected from the company going forward. So same hard drive size?
Both my PS4 and Xbox One hard drives are completely and utterly full. And they don't even have the games are so big now that it's not like I have dozens of games on them.
Did you see how much the Call of Duty Infinite War?
Isn't it like 130 gigabytes or something?
Yeah, 130 gigabytes Legacy edition.
Yeah, that combined with Modern Warfare.
With the remaster,
insane, which is if you have a 500 gig PS4, that's literally taking up more than a third.
I'd have to delete three full AAA games.
I mean, this is what happened to me. I had Metal Gear, Witcher, Batman Arkham, and Destiny on one Xbox, and it's full.
Textures designed for 4K games. I mean, this is so much space.
I mean, I have a feeling I think it'll be a 1 terabyte, $400 one, and then a 2 terabyte, $500 one.
And that's a little bit of a. That kind of sucks because 1 terabyte's really not enough anymore. Yeah, so it's you can get the Scorpio for $400. What a good deal. But you can't really. That option is it's not very future-proof.
I know. I think I'm one of the few people. I don't mind just deleting games. I play one single-player game at a time. Yeah. And if I am playing a couple games, a lot of times they're smaller games.
But for me, deleting a game is signaling defeat. I had to delete, to make room for Forza Horizon 3, I had to delete Metal Gear. And then that removed any shred of I'm going to go back to that game someday.
Sure. It's just gone forever.
It's over. Yeah.
It's banished from the Justin Spear.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of 4K,
game's overrated anyway.
What, Metal Gear?
Yeah.
Shut up.
The game is awesome.
Yeah, the game's awesome.
That's a real fun game.
We have an email from Jeremy. Who's the famous porn star Jeremy? What?
Ron Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy. Ron sorry, not Jeremy was last.
Damon pretending he doesn't know. Mario.
I just didn't remember. But this is probably from that Jeremy.
From Ron Jeremy.
Oh wow,
yeah. Big hug.
He emailed us at the email address gamescoop@ign.com, just like you can.
What's up,
and
Ron?
He asks, is 4K just a fad like 3D was?
Ooh.
Should Sony and Microsoft just stick to 1080p and get that working first? Most people don't even have a 4K television.
Yeah. Well, those are two separate questions, Jeremy. No, 4K is not a fad, but yes, game developers probably don't need to be in a massive rush to get there.
Yeah. Remember when 3D gaming was a push?
God, that was terrible.
Stop trying to make 3D a thing.
But I looked up, actually, there's a huge amount of games from last year that support stereoscopic 3D.
I didn't
even know. Like, all these games I played actually support 3D. I just never took advantage of it.
Yeah. It didn't work that great.
Movies, I blame Avatar for everything.
I think 4K is probably coming and will be coming still for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But I couldn't care less, but I feel like it's just sort of this tide of lethargic inevitability. Like, this is just going to keep showing up
in
televisions until I buy one.
It's different from 3D because you don't need any special, like, headset, eye gear. It just, like, looks better. Yeah. And people understand that. It's like, it's going to make everything look better.
3D is such, like, active participation in terms of you have X amount of glasses and what if you have a bunch of people over and that kind of thing.
Kind of goofy.
Yeah, whereas with this, it's like, well, we're going to get a point where 4K TVs are just TVs. The standard. You can get one for $500.
I mean, it's the same as HDTV where, like, you know, everyone's parents made everybody. My parents are like, I don't care about an HDTV. Yeah. You know, it's not important to me, but at some point their TV broke and they needed a new TV.
That was just the TVs. They were everywhere.
And
Walmart,
HDTVs were just TV.
And I think that's how it's going to happen here. Yeah. Exactly the same way. You think back to 2006, you know, there was a period of time when HD consoles were available, but that wasn't as important as it was just 2 years later.
Yeah.
Well, and also I jumped to an HDTV because we hit a point where games like Dead Rising, I remember specifically, the text was so small on my old TV. I was like, I literally don't know what's going on right now. Whereas I don't think we're ever going to hit a point where you're suffering performance because you're not in 4K.
That Xbox 360 generation was like so revelatory for a lot of us. Because I played Oblivion on my old SD television.
Oh, yeah.
And then I played Gears of War on my HD television.
And you're just like, what?
Yeah, for sure.
There's a few special considerations with 4K that are different than the jump from SD to HD, for example, and that's really just content. There's very, very little 4K content out there. Blu-rays that you have in your house now are not 4K. You need to have special 4K Blu-rays to display in that resolution. There is almost no content streaming at true 4K on the internet. And even if there is, there aren't a lot of internet connections that can handle that.
Yeah.
You know, and in video games, to do true 4K, native 4K requires such a ridiculous degree of horsepower that you're trading off.
Yeah.
You know, other you know details in your graphics just to get just to cram those additional pixels.
No enemies. Yeah, they all become walking simulators.
Think about how hard it is to get a 60 FPS frame rate now on a 1080 display, and then think about quadrupling the requirement.
Yeah. That being said, on a trip a couple months ago, I don't think we can say what the game was. I saw a game that's coming out soon. It was Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
Running, they showed it on PC, and they're like, all right, we're going to show you what it looks like in 4K. Granted, it's going to run so jankily, but this is what it looks like in 4K. And it was like, from still shots, it was probably the nicest looking game I've ever seen in my life. And then when you start moving, you're like, oh no, everything's broke. Like, just like looking at a single screen, you're like, this is probably the nicest looking thing ever.
I think we're several years away from the horsepower being able to, it makes a lot more sense to cram a tremendous amount of, you know, artistic detail, you know, and technical detail into a 1080p image than to try to get 4K working.
I think it's
not compromise free.
And you touched on something so important earlier, Justin, when you talked about the bandwidth just to get it in your home. That's the other end. Until the infrastructure can handle it, I think this is going to remain.
My internet sucks.
It
took me so long to download Gears of War.
Yeah, the sheer data that's on screen during every frame is boggling. It's interesting. I think it's the first time that really displays have leapt ahead of our bandwidth
reach exceeding your grasp.
Yeah.
A report on Business Insider predicts that 4K TVs will be in more than half of American households by 2025.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're still 10 years out.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
And if that sounds like a long time, that's apparently a much faster adoption rate than HDTVs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about HGTV?
Is that the Home and Garden television?
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to watch the Trading Spaces on there.
Yeah. I like Property Brothers.
Stop it.
Also, apparently, prices of 4K TVs have fallen 85% in the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're already probably sub 1,000 bucks for, I don't know how, like.
Sub 1,000 bucks?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think you can find deals. Yeah. Yeah, like I've gotten yelled at by being like, oh, they're too expensive. And people are like, no, I bought mine for like $800. Yeah.
Wow. You probably still too much for television.
You have to make sure that they're not crappy.
$800 is too much for television?
Absolutely.
How often do you use your television?
Yeah,
like twice a year.
Yeah, apparently. Well,
how do you do your job?
I don't.
Oh. So you go to the Marty school.
All right. Next email comes from Stephen Daniels.
Hey,
Stephen. He says, hi, Damon and friends. Aww. Long-time listener, first-time emailer.
Aww.
I live near D.C. and have an hour commute to and from work each day.
Ah.
So I look forward to downloading your latest podcast each week as they help me keep me sane while everyone else around me on the road is practicing to be a character in Grand Theft Auto. When I don't have a new episode of GameScoop, I go back to episodes from the past and reminisce about whatever was happening in the industry at that time. One consistent theme through the years has been discussion about rumors surrounding upcoming games and hardware. As the console generations advance, your crew often talks about impressive new hardware specs and innovative gameplay mechanics.
Sure.
If the GameScoop crew was given an unlimited budget and could pick any industry celebrity, living or dead, such as Hideo Kojima, to run a studio, what dream game would you create?
Oh, that's
so pick a person, and what game would they make?
Wow, the first half of that question was very unrelated.
Yeah, that's
a study scene.
So anybody to make anything?
He says, I'd personally create a sci-fi MMO set in VR that had a universe where you could travel from space stations to planets seamlessly without any loading screens. Gameplay would include space combat like Star Citizen and Elite Dangerous, and FPS mechanics with the level of polish like Halo. My studio would be run by the Hauser Brothers, as I think they are the best at creating living, breathing worlds.
Wow, that's a really good answer to that question. Daniel James, what was his name?
James Daniels.
James Daniels?
No.
James Joyce?
No. Stephen Daniels.
Okay.
James Joyce.
I've said before, and I think Jared Petty would play my game.
Yeah,
I want to take the Fallout formula and set it in feudal Japan, where I'm a wandering Ronin, and that game's entirely in Japanese. And I'll head up the studio. I've got an unlimited budget. An unlimited budget. I think I can oversee things and make that game.
All right, that sounds spectacular. I would play that game in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know the game.
I sold one copy.
You guys, somebody jump in here. I know the game, but I'm working on the developer. I know what the game I want to make, but I don't know who.
Yeah, I don't know my developer.
It's kind of tough for me. Like, my mind immediately.
Everyone would probably want Miyamoto, right? Like,
Yeah, but like, can I pluck him out of a certain time?
Yeah, he said living or dead, so maybe like.
Yeah.
1990 Miyamoto.
I was about to say 90, like SNES era Miyamoto, or like right when you're tipping on to the N64 Miyamoto. Mm.
Yeah, Miyamoto's career arc follows Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was your game?
Okay, Jared. So I want to make a Toontown open world game set in Roger Rabbit Toontown, and it's got all the licensed characters from Disney, from Warner Brothers, all the characters that inhabited that universe, every cartoon you can imagine, and a huge, wonderful open world. And I think I want Jordan Mechner to make it.
And that's a LlamaSoft guy?
No, that's very close, but Jordan Mechner is Prince of Persia. Karateka.
What's the name of the LlamaSoft guy?
The LlamaSoft guy is LlamaSoft.
You gotta make Tempest.
Right. Oh yeah.
Oh, what is his name? Hold on. This is hurting my head. I know this. Right,
Horatio LlamaSoft.
Horatio LlamaSoft.
Attack of the Killer Llamas. Yeah, or Attack of the Mutant Camel. Yeah.
What?
Anyway, this guy's great. He really has a thing for llamas and camels.
Same.
Apparently.
Why can't I remember his name? That's Space Invaders Extremes background.
The goat up.
Yeah, so I'll think about that while somebody else answers.
Anyway,
I think Jordan Mechner would be interesting because I read his he kept a diary when he wrote Prince of Persia and Karateka, and seeing the way he engaged games and thought about trying new things, very experimental, very. I think he had a great idea for how to do games cinematically, and I'd like to see him challenged to create something with just unlimited resources.
What was the last game he worked on?
I was just going to say, I was just wondering what Mechner's up to now.
I did not know what the last game Mechner
was. They did iOS ports of stuff like, what's the train
Last
game?
Express?
Yeah, The Last Express and some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. He got some of the rights to his stuff back. Yeah, maybe he always had the rights.
And he was doing interviews for it, so he had something to do with it.
It's kind of strange, but I don't have a great answer to this question for a couple reasons. One, I kind of don't know what I want until a developer, gives it to me. Like, I wouldn't have necessarily said I wanted or needed something like The Witcher 3 in my life. I'm like, oh, there's already, great open world fantasy RPGs. But then it comes out, and I said, oh, no, this is totally giving me something that I didn't know that I, was filling. It was scratching an itch I didn't know I had. And a lot of the stuff that I want, my dream games would be a little bit smaller stuff. Like, Boomblocks has been on my mind a lot lately.
Really?
Yeah.
want more boom blocks. You know, I want another 2D Mario that's Mario Maker was.
Surely we should we can bring back boom blocks now that VR is a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Right? That, maybe totally that's why it's on my mind. Like, I want a sequel to Super Mario World.
Yeah.
You know, and Mario Maker is dope as hell, and I'm glad that it exists. But, you know, I would like the talents of Nintendo going back to making another, you know, secret-filled 2D platformer that's not New Super Mario Bros.
And that's not Yoshi's Island, obviously. What,
you know, I'd like Ron Gilbert making Monkey Island 3.
Ron Jeremy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ron Jeremy.
Making Monkey Island 3.
Whew. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that that I'd be really, really into.
The game I've always wanted to make was, I guess I can't say always because I want to make this for like 4 years, because if I wanted to make this when I was a kid, I'd be a child alcoholic. It's called Last Call. And so you start, and you're in a bar, and a guy calls Last Call, and every play session lasts 15 minutes. And it's from 1:45 to 2. And you sort of have this very small but very dense laid out world. And for that 15 minutes, you could do whatever you want. You can, there's a couple people still in the bar. You can listen to their conversations. You can talk with them. You can talk to the bartender. You can get in a fight. You can play pool. You can look at your phone. And so there's just, it is a small space that has thousands of variables in it.
You can relive the same 15 minutes 1,000 ways. Burn the bar down.
Yeah, exactly, like, exactly. And it can go, like, it can get crazy. It can get insane. Yeah. Or you can fall in love. Or it could just be a very, you could totally waste your time. Or you can try to get
Who's your designer on this?
That's what, I don't know, like, like,
well, you know, I'm curious. Like, what is the? Is there an overall objective? Is there a way to win the game?
I don't think so. Okay. I think it is more of you keep sitting down and just trying to see what kind of a different ending you can get every time. I wouldn't say there's
go up to the roof.
A best ending.
There.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if there's a best ending. Like, sort of like
mysterious dog wanders in.
Yeah,
follow him.
That'd
home.
Be great. Follow the dog. I don't know, like Tim Schafer.
Oh, Tim Schafer.
I think it's like I almost think adventure games because of a lot of like
maybe you could have different threads done by different. Like, here are the five. Schafer threads.
And there's almost like a horror thread. And
oh, that's great. Yep. Like a Four Rooms, but with
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so two things. First, Jeff Minter, finally remembered. Second, have you played Callahan's Cross Time Saloon?
Well, I didn't.
No, we talked about
I didn't even understand what you just said.
Callahan's Cross Time Saloon?
Callahan's Cross Time Saloon.
Yeah, okay. it's a video game set in a bar, and I think Marty'd really like
it. It's also, that's a little bit like Stanley Parable.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
There's another video game set in a bar. It's called Tapper.
Yes.
Yeah, that's set in a bar.
And there's a whole bunch of different endings in that game.
Yeah. Sometimes you get root beer. Really,
Callahan's Cross Time Saloon featuring music written and performed by Spider Robinson, famous sci-fi writer.
Best
Spider
bar
Robinson.
Scenes in games.
Ooh.
This is the opening of Prey.
Yeah. Catherine.
Yeah, a lot of stuff in Catherine is good. Yeah.
Or the,
The bar in Moonside and Earthbound.
That time in Red Dead, I killed all those people.
Oh, don't do that.
What about when you can drink milk in Zelda? Is that
That's Lanlan. Lanlan bar.
Yeah, the in Majora's Mask.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yep. All right.
Good times in bars.
Because we're on the subject, I have one more idea for a game that I like, and I've probably said this on the show before, but in this game, there's like a moderate sized city like San Francisco, and the city is represented very realistically, very accurately, and your goal is to level the entire city in any way you can.
Like Blast Corps, but next gen.
Yeah, but you're just like a person. Oh, and like you have to like figure it out. Like find explosives, find guns, use semi-trucks to run into buildings or whatever. And then the only goal of the game is to level the entire city. And then when everyone starts playing, it's kind of a race to see like who can level the city.
I get like, I also feel
there
like
there's any realistic means.
Oh, okay, realistic. It can't be like, oh, you found the secret base and you unleashed like a kaiju that's going to destroy half
the
city.
No, it's more like find a rocket launcher.
Hideo Kojima's levolution.
Figure out how to topple a building so it falls over another building.
If Crackdown 3 was just that, I'd be super happy.
Sounds like Red Faction Guerrilla.
If Crackdown 3 existed, I'd be super happy.
It absolutely probably doesn't exist.
Yeah, that game has definitely gone dark. All right, this email is from Gustavo.
What's up, Gustavo?
Says, hello, guys. Love your show, and I would like to hear your opinions on a current American video game industry issue.
Uh-oh. Bum, bum, bum.
After seeing how much censorship we have in the West, I wonder if we'll ever have full adult video games on systems like the PS4. In Japan, they have apps like DMM.R18. I haven't heard of it.
Oh, Derm Rat.
Where you can watch your purchased adult movies on your console. Mm-hmm. We would never dream of an app like that in the West. Well, you can dream. Recently, we've been getting a few games with relatively mature content like Senran Kagura, Galgun, Caladrius Blaze, etc. Mm-hmm. But even games like Dead or Alive Extreme 3 are still getting banned, as silly as those games are. We'll get to this in a sec. Not banned.
Yeah.
Now that we have VR coming our way, I imagine more immersive titles will become available. I wonder if we'll ever be mature enough to accept those titles in our market. I feel as adults, we should have the freedom to experience these games if we choose to do so. Most of them are pure comedy. It is embarrassing that we are getting treated as little kids when it comes to these kinds of games. The excuse that there is not a market for hentai games and the like in the West is absolute nonsense. We all know that. And the fact that Eastern companies retract themselves from releasing those games over here because they are afraid of negative feedback makes me feel that in the West we are still decades behind when it comes to cultural advancement, and just maybe we are not fully part of the free world.
All right, so...
So let's go...
I got a little bit to say about
this. Let's go.
But I want to go through it comment by comment.
All right.
And remember, Gustavo is a fan of ours.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
No,
Gustavo
no,
says, will we ever have full adult video games on systems like the PS4? No.
No. No. I mean, for a full adult as in, like, AO? Is that
like what? Yeah, or, like, hardcore hentai games on a closed ecosystem like the PlayStation 4?
I don't think so.
Yes, by the time I die.
You think well, so?
Yep.
I mean, it's interesting that we do have, you know, you said AO, we do have the adults only ESRB rating. You know, it's sort of
it's
a harder
used,
rating than M, but it's not you. It's a death sentence in the same way that NC-17.
Because no retailer will sell it. However, there's so much digital distribution now. You would think that would cut something out.
So those games exist. Do those games exist on Steam? Does Steam sell
I think Steam is a lot more
lenient.
Lenient for that. Sort of
you can get
Valve
them on,
doesn't really see that Steam is like our console. And like they're presenting.
You can purchase games with nudity and sexual content on PCs in certain ways. I do think that the fact that stores are going to be less and less important to how you acquire software, even on closed platforms as time passes, makes this probably an inevitability. Also, attitudes for sexuality in America continue to shift and change, and I think those two things will combine. It's a long way off, but I do think it'll happen.
I mean, there's definitely Steam is already full of puzzle games where you know you beat the puzzle and then the girl takes her clothes off.
Oh, dang, like, really?
Yeah.
Yes. Nice. Those exist.
Yeah, but I don't know about AO. I don't know if Steam has.
Well, yeah, like hardcore, like full on.
Wait, like Peggle?
Peggle.
I'm playing puzzle games where after end of Peggle, like the unicorn just is all stoked.
There is instead of a rainbow, it's just boobies. Yeah, that
sounds
exists.
Great.
Yeah.
Sounds wonderful.
All right, what's the second point
here? He says even games like DOA Extreme 3 are still getting banned. Like we said, that game is not banned. They just didn't release it here.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing as being banned.
I don't want people to have the wrong idea. This is why I was kind of making the face. I don't want people the wrong idea about Japan. It's not like Japan doesn't censor things that go into consoles as well. I mean, the threshold is different. But console games in Japan are still treated very differently than PC games. Their threshold for nudity in some cases can be higher, certain kinds of touching content or something, for example. But you're not going to find, by and large, full-blown hardcore pornographic games on closed console hardware over there either. And that's something that I think is a misconception here that I want to make sure people understand. The threshold is different, but it's not anything goes. And I don't want that to be misrepresented.
Sony doesn't want to be known as the company that has a console with like pornographic content on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why that sort of stuff isn't going to be on the PlayStation 4 console.
You do run into an interesting situation historically. Sometimes consoles that aren't winning the war for that generation loosen up. On that, Saturn was a big example of that. You had a lot more ecchi type content on Saturn than you did on PlayStation in Japan because they're like, well, we're great at 2D and we need people to play. And so come on over, naked people.
Yeah, the Wii U did the same thing. So open the porn floodgates. It was great.
but again, there was an upper threshold on that. Sorry, Justin.
There's not a lot of upside. Is the thing. So for Sony or someone to allow, you know, a lot more adult content opens the door to, you know, so much potential backlash or bad press and kind of for what? Like they'd make some money, but not enough.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not from their perspective, it's not worth it.
Yeah. I think he said that there was a huge market for in the US and I don't think there is a huge market.
I think it's
market.
Very niche.
I think it's a very niche market.
Yeah. He mentioned Senran Kagura. I actually looked up. They announced last year that series has sold 1 million copies worldwide. Mm-hmm. The series has been running for 5 years now. There's been like 6 or 7 games. So over 5 years, 6 or 7 games in the series have only sold 1 million copies worldwide.
Yeah.
That tells me these games sell in the tens of thousands probably in the U.S.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, Call of Duty is going to sell 10 million copies in 24 hours.
Now, there is an argument to be made that if they were available for discrete download at home without anybody ever knowing, that they might sell...
Sure.
50 to 100 times that.
Yeah.
But we
don't
know.
That's true. Yeah. And I'm of the belief that adults should be able to do whatever they want, as long as they're not hurting anyone. So, but also, like, it's totally up to a company whether or not they want to release this sort of game over here or not, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, demand or force any company to release that stuff.
And I also feel like there will be more He mentioned the word mature a lot, and I think games are maturing and maturing slowly in the way that they portray relationships and sexuality and
yeah.
the body. And I think as we go on, there are going to be actual mature representations of sex in games
yeah.
that it's are like, pushing boundaries further without being sort of directly drawn from Japan anime-inspired
yeah.
things.
Yeah, yeah. You have
some... need a different word. Because, like,
yeah, I mean,
Dead
yeah.
or Alive Extreme 3, I wouldn't say is a mature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, we need the word divorce yeah. or remove.
There's
you know,
mature,
hentai games
the rating,
from the
and then mature, like, yeah.
Yeah.
mature
yes.
art.
Silent yeah. Hill 2 is incredible because it makes me sexually uncomfortable. Catherine is mm-hmm. tremendous because it deals with sexuality in genuinely mature ways. Mm-hmm. And there are other things you could do with that. And then you have weird stuff on PC out there that you're like, you know, I don't know if this is mature or not, but it's hilarious. You think about a game like Sperm Rider, which is just
never heard of that
a cowboy riding a giant rider. Sperm over a city. Like
from
Kaiju.
What year is this?
This was probably 6 or 7 years ago.
The good old days.
You know, and you have these weird kind of yeah. We're going to see more of it because I think in the United States, while we certainly have ultimately, it's not about morality for a lot of people as much as it's about money. And when the perception changes that there's money to be made and people aren't going to care, then yeah, that will shift things because we are a very pragmatic and greedy group of people.
What's the game where you take a shower, your dad?
What's I'm that? Sorry?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's actually simulator. The name of that game, I think. Yeah, yeah.
Which one?
Shower with Your Dad Simulator.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, all right.
Yeah.
No, I'm
that's
not.
That's a game.
We're not kidding. That's a real game.
Pretty sure that
I
is
thought
on
you were
Steam.
Kidding.
Nope.
No,
it's called,
I think that's
it's called Shower with Your Dad Simulator.
Yeah, I think it's on Steam.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's played for laughs. It's not gross or anything.
Sure.
It's maybe a little gross.
All right, now's the time on GameScoop when we play Video Game 20 Questions.
Ooh,
everyone knows
yay.
How this works. You suggest a game, and then my panel here has 20 yes or no questions to guess it. This week's suggestion comes from Denzel.
Washington?
Yep.
Whoa, dude, I loved you in Man on Fire.
Very quickly, you're like, Denzel, movie that doesn't suck.
I think that's really
cool. That's really good.
Glory?
Glory.
Glory.
Glory's pretty good.
Training Day.
Yeah. Training Day was cool.
So, actually, had a lot of good things. I kind of liked Fallen. I have a soft spot in my heart for Fallen.
I haven't seen Fallen.
Yeah, I feel like those Denzel movies come in a couple different flavors.
Well, but I got drunk in my plane one upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Sully? Oh, that's the other one.
No, that's Sully is where he... You
know, I may have been drunk, but my plane didn't go upside down.
Yeah. Right. All right, question number one. Who wants to start us?
Well, I mean, I think traditionally that mantle falls on Justin.
Yeah, the patriarch.
After last week's Carmen Sandiego debacle, I'm still trying to recover. So.
Ooh, last week was where
the Carmen Sandiego debacle.
Yeah, they didn't guess it, though.
They didn't suck.
Can you, in this game, can you see your hands?
Yes.
All right, there we go. You can see your hands.
Jesus. What happened to this game?
Trespasser.
Did it come out after? Did it originally come out after January 1st, 2000?
No.
Okay. Did it come out after January 1st, 1990?
Yes.
All right.
We got a '90s game with hands.
You play this game. Is this game 3D?
Yes.
Ooh, a 3D hand simulator. Gross. was this game featured on a Nintendo console?
No.
Was this game critically well received?
Yes.
Is this
played from the first-person perspective?
No.
You can't see your hands.
You can in a lot
some
of
games.
Oh, yeah, any game with a gun, I guess.
Yeah.
Trespasser.
Yeah. Stop right. talking about Trespasser.
Exactly.
Well,
now we know it's
Wait, it is not first-person.
Right.
It is not 3D. On a Nintendo console, but it is 3D.
It's a 90s
in the 90s.
Game. Only 90s kids.
Is this featured prominently on a PlayStation console?
What do you mean by
that? I guess, did this game appear on a PlayStation console?
Yes.
Okay. Is this a licensed game?
No.
So it's a PS1 game.
Ape Escape. It's not my actual guess.
Yeah. Could be, though.
Do you see hands in that game?
Remember, you do lose if you guess wrong.
I know. That's why I said it's not my actual guess. do you play as a human?
No.
Not
Ape
a human.
Escape!
You play as a human in Ape Escape.
That's 10.
Oh, yeah. Turns out I don't know what Ape Escape is.
PlayStation game. Probably appear on other stuff the way Damon... phrase that question. In this game, do you fire guns?
No.
Does this game have sequels?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
It was well received. That was yes.
Yeah.
Was yes. So it's
PS1 game. Well received.
Well received. Does
third
have
person game,
but also appeared on other things. On
yeah, without games. Shooty. Third person game without shooty 3D. Yeah.
Should we lock down genre?
Don't like play as a human.
We don't know. It could have appeared on PS2. I'm picturing PS1 games.
Before 2000.
No, you don't shoot a gun.
Before 2000.
Yeah. When did the PS1, PS2 come out?
2001.
Oh.
No, 2000. Okay. Metal Gear was 2001.
Right on the edge there.
All right. Is there hand-to-hand melee combat in this game?
Yes.
Did we ask if we play as a human?
Yeah. I said no.
Yeah.
Oh, we do not play as a human.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I completely missed that.
Wait, I thought you said yes, you do. And then
you do not play as a human,
but there is hand-to-hand combat, you said?
Yes.
Okay. Hand-to-hand combat, but you don't play as a human.
Okay, so you're not a human, and it's hand-to-hand. Okay, so it could be a mascot platformer. It could be,
yeah.
I mean, you could be like...
Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
Well, except for not. Like Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, you could be Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah,
you could
but
be Sly Cooper.
Said,
you could be...
I said PS1, and he was very like... It sounds like it's on PS1 as well as other things.
Yeah. So okay. it could be like...
He was also
the
very...
The question was, did it appear on a PlayStation console? And I said yes.
Yeah.
Well, but the real clue here was that Damon had to think a long time about sequels.
Mm-hmm. But okay. I came down on yes.
You came down on yes, but it's not like Crash, obviously, has sequels.
Yeah.
So it could be...
Should we try to lock down genre?
I was going to say, it could still be like a 3D fighting game. Like, it could be like could a Power be. Stone. Although that didn't appear on PS1. Yeah, I mean, a game like that.
Don't you play as people in
Is this game a platformer?
Not really.
Croc?
I wouldn't,
Spyro?
You know, if you were like sorting games into genres, you wouldn't put this in a platform.
So it wouldn't fall in like the mascot platformer band. So that takes out Spyro and
Croc.
Yeah, Croc and Gex and crap like
Three
that.
3D Brawler?
Brawler could be. Brawler, Stealth.
It could be Medieval.
Do you play as an animal? And I'm not talking about an animal like all aliens are animals. I'm talking about do you play as a animal?
An earth animal.
Yeah, an earth animal.
No.
Okay, so
that's 15.
15?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Whoa.
We burned through real quick.
Yeah, we did. We
Five are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been looking at his fingers.
Wow. Man.
Don't worry, I look at your fingers too.
Okay, so you are neither human nor animal, which means you could be robot or alien or plant.
Or a skeleton.
Or it could be like
Skeleton Warriors.
Alone, and you could be shape.
But it does appear on PlayStation.
Was there a sequel to Medieval?
No. But they announced there was a rumor that there was going to be one.
So I don't think that's
right. In Medieval, don't you play as a human in Medieval?
No, you play as a skeleton.
Oh, there you are, a skeleton. No, that's right. Jeez. What's wrong with me?
The ruling, the judges.
This is a good game.
The judges would rule that skeletons are not a human.
Wait, this is a good game.
Yeah, I think it's
right. Medieval's a good game.
It's said critically well received.
Medieval's a good game. It's totally a good game.
Hand-to-hand combat, so you are something with... Wow, okay, that's a lot of... What about bad guys? Last time, if we'd have guessed Carmen, like if we'd have gone...
Is this game a single-player only game?
Yes.
Single-player only game. You are not a human. You do not have guns.
Ooh. Not playing as a human or an animal is like a pretty good... Like I'd like to... Like it could be something like... although you do shoot in that game, but it could have been something like the Alien game where you play as the Martian.
Yeah.
He would destroy all humans.
Yeah.
What about...
that's not old enough, but I mean, sure. Like... So I
Symphony. I mean, you're a vampire. You're
that's,
not a,
it's a 3D game.
Well, so is Symphony, but I don't think it's...
Symphony of the Night is not, absolutely not a 3D game.
Absolutely. It's got all the 3D, the 3D coffin effects.
Don't do that,
the backgrounds are all 3D.
Do,
it
doesn't count. That's not...
doesn't count, Jerry.
Yeah, you're
never
right.
In a million years would anybody...
If David ever said that was a 3D game, I'd quit.
You're right.
IGN.
I get it.
It's not a great line of questioning, but uh-oh. Knowing that you play not as a human or an animal is like what does that leave us with?
Robots, aliens, plants.
Yeah.
Is there a game where you beat people up as a plant? I'm trying to think of one.
I mean, okay. Do you play...
There's robots. What's robots?
Hand-to-hand robots?
I'm trying to figure out a best way to slice it, like without burning a question on do you play as a skeleton or something like
3D
that.
3D hand-to-hand.
Or like Stubbs the zombie.
3D hand-to-hand with robots and aliens. I mean, there's
a lot
of
could be like, do you bleed? Would your character bleed if they get hurt? Would your character bleed if they get hurt?
That's a great question. I like that one.
Robots don't bleed. Aliens do.
Neither do skeletons.
Skeletons don't bleed. Shapes don't bleed.
Wow. That's a really tough one. I'm going to say... Yes.
Yes.
But
yes. This character would bleed.
But that might come back to,
uh-oh.
Come back to haunt.
Well, don't uh-oh. Worry. All of us are going to come back to haunt us because we are nowhere near. We are probably so far off.
You have three questions left.
Yeah, I don't think we're very close here at all. He said haunt. Could it be a ghost? Ghost
Who
don't bleed.
Haunt?
He said haunt. But
oh.
Ghosts don't bleed.
Could it? Because it'd be an RPG?
Could be a lot of things, but we've done a terrible job of narrowing it down.
Jesus. Yeah, we didn't even come close to narrowing down genre, did we?
He said it's not primarily a platformer. He would
yeah.
not.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a mistake.
We did it bad.
Yeah. We did it bad.
We did it real bad. We've worked ourselves into a terrible situation here.
Yeah, but on the plus side.
You don't have guns.
Is it based off a previous license?
No, we already know.
We already asked about license.
We already know.
Never asked that question. It's not a license. It's a dumb question. Someone
on the plus side, none of this matters.
Yes. Was this developed in Japan?
No.
Oh yeah, we screwed up.
Yeah, we did real bad. That's because you asked. Can you see your hands?
It's 18.
You can't see your hands.
The first question is the time to throw out a silly question.
Yeah, what about the 19th?
I'd like to have another question.
Two questions left.
Okay, you might bleed, but he's going to say yes. You kind of bleed.
Try and narrow it down, and then you can guess.
Does that to me implies zombie or vampire?
Yeah.
Something along those lines?
Mm-hmm. Agree with you there.
Vampire the Masquerade.
No, that's not going to be.
Can't think of a...
Because that's based on a license.
Yeah, it's based on a license that won't work. It does have sequels, but it was kind of like, is on PlayStation. Could be a PC game more.
Legacy of Kain?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's... but that unequivocally got sequels. I don't know why they...
Yeah,
so
but there's stuff like Soul Reaver, and like it's sort of like Blood Omen.
Did...
Legacy of Kain, that's really good.
I'm trying to think about the smart way to narrow this down. Amy Hennig wrote those games. We could ask if this
Did Amy Hennig work on the series?
That's the question you're asking?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh!
So with your last question.
Right. Yeah, is it Legacy of Kain?
Wait.
Now there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them.
Okay, I believe there's just Legacy of Kain. The two it could be is Legacy of Kain and
Soul Reaver. Blood Omen, Legacy of Kain.
I think Blood Omen was a PS2 game.
No, Blood Omen was the first one. Legacy. Wait, how does the series order go? Legacy of Kain came after Blood Omen.
Blood Omen, Legacy of Kain, and then Soul Reaver?
No, I'm wrong. Soul Reaver came after.
Okay, so I feel like...
I don't remember. Nope. I'm not helping at all.
Soul Reaver came later.
We need two questions, though.
If only we hadn't asked about hands.
Soul Reaver came after because that was the 3D, but that's the one that's the 3D action adventure one, and then Blood Omen's the one that's more traditional RPG. I thought
that's fine,
but it
features hand to hand.
But I don't even consider that game 3D.
I do.
Blood Omen?
I think it counts.
Is it anything that we've asked?
Is it Blood Omen Legacy?
No,
of Kain?
Wait. We still have a question.
That is the question.
Yeah, the final question.
You're
on
your final question.
The final question?
I mean, it's a. Yeah, you have to,
it has to be
to
the guess.
Spin the question.
If we had but one more question, we would be there.
Okay, what are you going to get? I think it's Soul Reaver.
I'm not convinced that game came out before 2000.
It'd be great if it was none of these games. Turned out Amy Hennig worked on something else.
Yeah, it's fine.
No, let's go with Blood Omen.
I trust you.
No, I don't trust me. Okay, Jared, Blood Omen or Soul Reaver?
We're not saying Legacy of Kain.
That is Legacy of Kain.
Is it?
That's Blood Omen : Legacy of Kain.
I'm going to say Legacy of Kain.
What if we just stay vague?
Legacy.
That's what I tried to do.
I'm committing. Legacy of Kain.
It's Soul Reaver.
I'm putting it in the win column.
The full title is Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver, 1999.
That
PlayStation, Dreamcast, PC.
Damon's figured out how to trip us up is to pick games right on
right on that
dateline.
The first game is Blood Omen, Legacy of Kain.
Yeah.
Then there was Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver. And what paused me about, I think there was Soul Reaver 2.
Yes,
Legacy.
I think that, so.
But
yeah.
I don't think it had Legacy of Kain in the title anymore.
Yeah. There is, that's a confusing franchise. I think there's four of them.
Soul Reaver
total.
2 was the third
game. Well, there's Blood Omen 2 as well before Soul Reaver even.
Is that
I think.
True?
No, that might not be true. I don't know. I'm counting it as a win.
It's not
you
a
guys,
win.
I'm counting it as a win.
The official IGN wiki is not going to count
we
it
got,
as a win.
We got to Legacy of Kain, and that's
yeah,
all
but it's like it's like getting tackled on the 1 yard line. You don't get the
yeah,
points.
Just, oh yeah, man, like if only it were for the hands. We're so close. And yet, without the hands, we might never have gotten there.
That game was fun. I played
yeah,
that game.
It was great.
I played that one in the first one, Blood Omen, but those are the only two I played.
Definitely one of the top 10 franchises that should return.
Well, not according to IGN.
Well, and, what do they know?
But it's like you do a lot of jumping in that game,
yes.
But you don't call it a platformer.
Yeah, I would
probably.
Agree. Yeah, no, and the blood fair. Question, I also agree.
Yeah, I guess he would bleed, and he has like weird. His hands are like three claws, basically like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
You see him. I think he bleeds.
You had good answers. All your answers were good. I'm not calling you out on any of them.
Thank you for the suggestion, Denzel Washington.
That was great, Denzel Washington.
I didn't know he was a fan of GameScoop or Legacy of Kain.
Yeah, you know. We're hearing from all of the celebrities. Mm-hmm. You, him, Ron Jeremy.
Man, I made the wrong call.
That's fine. Again.
Have you not? Did you not play those games, Jared?
No, I fooled with them, but I've never been as
fooled with them.
Yeah, fooled with them. Like it has been a long time since I played a King game.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Well, it's been a long time since there's been a King game.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there was that Nosgoth, that multiplayer game that was. Yeah.
But yeah.
There
I
was
think
the leaked Legacy of Kain 3 or whatever, yeah. Like Soul Reaver 3 or whatever they were calling it. That footage leaked out, got canceled. And yeah. You know, never came out.
Yeah.
But I also don't think I played them when they were contemporary. Like, I think it was a little after. That these were things I discovered later on that somebody showed me, too. So it's kind of in the middle there.
Close, but no cigar is a phrase that I made up that I just sort of like to...
Really? You come up with two really solid phrases in this podcast. Yeah.
Are we gonna do a Holy Chip shout-out?
Go ahead.
All right. Sure. So, you know, there's this series on YouTube that we've been...
one
video that could become two. We are... near 5,000 views away from getting to make a second one of these and getting to play. Was it Air Zonk? I don't even remember anymore.
I think Air Zonk is the second Air Zonk game. Air Zonk is
our
next
one. All the TurboGrafx-16 games.
Holy Chip series.
Please go to YouTube and find Holy Chip and watch us play Aeroblasters.
How many?
It's part of the GameScoop.
How many views are you at right now?
We're right 10, around 10,000. Yeah.
If the video, 15,000?
So they don't make another until the previous video gets 15,000 views. First video is at 10,000 views.
Yeah,
so
we've just been asking every few weeks for people to...
Limited desire to watch people play TurboGrafx-16 games, yeah. I think.
Well, let's be fair. Maybe limited desire to watch us play TurboGrafx-16 games.
Also, if you download multiple browsers, you get a couple views.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's
very true.
No, yeah, I do think that might be a market that in America never really did have a chance to flourish, and it's too bad because there's so many good games.
It's true.
And if you all watch them, then we get to make more videos and show them to you.
All right, that's all the scoops we have for this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Marty. Mm-hmm. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address at gamescoop@ign.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.